Hi, gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. That's right. God is not asking the gay person to change and be straight, and Jesus is not. And if you look at the Bible is also not asking the gay person to change and be straight. But I know many of you are asking the gay person to change and be straight, and you're basing this on that you're saying that the Bible tells you this. Well, I would like to tell you the Bible does not tell you this. You're conditioned to think that the Bible tells you this. So I want you to get out of your tradition and your conditioning and your culture of thinking gay is sin. Because if gay is sin, you can go to the Bible and find out. Now, with that, I know a lot of your people are raising your hand or going to call me or something. My phone number is on the credits at the beginning and the end of my program. So you can go to my website. And at worship.to/gaysforjesus. And you can get a hold of me, and you're going to probably tell me that, yes, the Bible does say that. And just like somebody I was talking to over the internet and chat program, a Muslim, in fact, they were trying to say the Bible says gay is sin. It's kind of interesting because they don't even actually believe the Bible, even though they sort of they use it a lot, you know, and a lot of times, and they try to this and that. And him in the hall, I learned kind of a lot about Islam and stuff because so many Muslims want to chat with me. I don't know. They take a liking to me. I don't understand exactly why. You know, I'm on the internet, and I got all these people from all over the Middle East, Arabs calling me, chatting with me and everything. I don't understand. They just kind of take a liking to me, and so I got probably 10 or so or 15 a day during the weekdays attempting to chat with me, and some of them chat with me, and sometimes we chat at length. And lots of them like to try to attempt to convert me to Islam. And but, you know, they just seem to like to talk with me and everything. I don't understand it myself. I'm pretty blunt. You know, you probably heard me. If you're watching me a lot on here, I just kind of tell it like it is, and I tell them like it is, too. I said, hey, you know, just like people that say gay is sin, they just don't study. And I say to the Muslim, you just don't study. You just accept what you're told. And you read the Quran, and you just accept what your priests tell you, all your leaders and so forth, and whatever you call it, you know, and when you go to your mosque and everything, you just accept that. You know, as Christians, you know, we're told to go and amen the pastor. You know, just say, amen, yeah, right on, and everything. But then we're told also to go home and study what the pastor taught and see if it's so. And keep your amen if you find out that it is so. But then take back your amens when you find out it is not so. You're supposed to study. I mean, most religions are lovers of truth. They want the truth. And most religions will have degrees of truth. But you see, if you love the truth, no matter who you are, even if you're an atheist, you got to look for the truth. And you can't just simply say you don't like certain religion because you don't believe in it or something. You got to actually make some effort to study to see if somebody is saying something that is what is the truth or not. Now, just like in Christianity, most Christians, it seems, it's so easy to say most, whether it is most or not, it just seems like it is. Every now and then you run into a Christian that you know, I can say just a couple of words, and they right away know, I mean, what I'm talking about. And they could start adding on to and saying, yes, they know this. And, I mean, it's just kind of interesting when you find people that have seen the things that I've seen, or I've seen the things that they've seen. It's just interesting. And then you go to the people that never even study. They say they study. I study the Bible. Boy, I hear all these wonderful Christians telling me, you know, you guys call me up, you chat with me and everything. You tell me you study the Bible. So I ask you, okay, you use Leviticus. Tell me what the word man means. And all that you can do is say, well, see, it's a man. And it's that man lays with another man, so that's gay. And that you call a study. How come you don't listen to your pastor when he talks about various Greek words, various Hebrew words, that in the English we just have one? You know, the word love has four or five Greek words. And almost all the Christian groups and denominations always have some place that they talk often enough about this Greek word love that we know that there is all these four or five kinds. You know, mostly you get out four, but sometimes you can find five Greek words for love. You know, to love God. You know, that's a whole kind of situation. Then there's that sexual love. And then there's this friendship. You know, family. You know, there's several different types of love. In English, the only way we know what kind of love it is because we need the rest of the sentence. And what is the rest of the sentence? The rest of the sentence tells you what kind of love that the verse is talking about. Well, in Hebrew, we also have this kind of deal. Most of the time, when you look at the word man, all you're going to see is M-A-N. However, there are Hebrew words for just one word that will tell you what kind of man it is. Then they have another word that will tell you about a different kind of man, and another word that will tell you about a different kind of man, and so forth and so on. And that womankind that is there also is this kind of Hebrew word. So when you read man with man, like with woman, like man with womankind, in your mind you see English, and the sentence doesn't help you a lot. It should help a little bit because of the word abomination. But you're conditioned to think abomination just means something disgusting. So how can you possibly understand the sentence by just reading it? And you say, well, that's all you have to do with the Bible. No, you don't. You have to study. The Bible was written 2,000 years ago, and then the Old Testament, much longer than that. So you've got to study what it meant in the day it was written. And you'll find that this word man in Leviticus, the first word there, means a straight man, but it means more than a straight man. You know, today we have English, we say a gay man or a straight man. Well, when we add the extra word, we know what kind of man it is. We need two words to be able to know what kind of man the orientation is. In Hebrew, you need one word. Straight man in Hebrew is just one word. But when we read the English, we see man, so we don't know what kind of man it is unless we study. Generic studies are not going to do it. You got to find out some things. You see, the chapter is very interesting. It describes something. We're not talking about secularism. We're talking about laws based on religion, pagan and that of God, of the Hebrew people. And so we find out this Hebrew word is more specific than actually saying straight man. It means a practicing straight man, which means this man has actually gone to bed with women. So when you're reading Leviticus, you already have some information to you that if you study just based on the one word man, and that particular word already tells you that this person isn't a gay person. It is a man that has already had sexual relationships with women. Now, this is not a gay person. There's no way ever that you can make that first word, man, a gay person, because that is not what the Hebrew word says. Then it says, lies with man, or mankind. Well, so you say, well, a straight man lies with some other kind of man. And where do we get a hint what kind of man it is? This other word that you're conditioned to believe that it just means something disgusting, that God just simply hates it because it's just simply disgusting. Well, in the Old Testament, abomination doesn't simply mean disgusting. In the Hebrew, it'll say, especially or concretely, an idol, worshiping idols. It's disgusting because it has to do with worshiping other gods. Now we have the actual usage in Old Testament times where you could go and analyze Old Testament language in the times that they were used and this word abomination. In almost the entirety of the Old Testament, abomination meant something that you'd done while and in regards to worshiping another god. This is why God thinks it's disgusting. He's a jealous God. He doesn't like it. He said, there is no other gods. So you're doing anything and honoring another god for it, then this is disgusting to God. This is what abomination means. Now you can compare it with gay people and say, do the 600 million gay people bow down and worship to some fertility god? No, they don't. No matter how much you might wish them, you might say, well, they worship the man because they're all interested, sexually attracted to a man's body. So you're saying this is their worship. Well, then if you do that, then you're going to have to say a man is doing the same thing to a woman when he marries them, because they're just bowing down and worshiping to that woman and making that woman the god. No, this is not what it means, people. When you are in love with somebody and you have sexual relations with that person you're in love with, and you have a long-term caring relationship, which generally in the straight community you call a marriage. In the gay community you say, I have a lover, which is saying, I'm married to this other guy. Now, this is not being described here in Leviticus. It is saying that a straight man has gone to bed with a man that is doing something in relationships to honoring and worshiping other gods. So this has to be a fertility god, because we know that the first man, the straight man that's going to bed with woman, is going to bed with another man. Well, the Bible is full of it. And plus the Bible has seven places that actually use the word sodomite. And not one of these places in the Hebrew does it describe citizens of Sodom. But it describes a male temple prostitute. And what's more, you can go to these fertility temples of the day of Paul and of the day of Moses, and you can see that exactly what the Bible is describing is actually a current event of those days. People did go to fertility temples. Hebrew men did go to these temple prostitutes, which were called sodomites. And sodomite is a prostitute in a fertility temple. Now, one thing that I found difficult to understand is you people that want to use the scripture to say that gay is sin, you say, well, what difference does it make if it's prostitution or not? It's still a male and a male, so that's gay. And it's condemning it. That is not what it's doing, people. Because, you see, what you're doing is saying, when you go to scripture that says a man that went to a prostitute, that's sin. When you hear all the condemnation of prostitutes, then you've got to then say, then this is a straight man and a straight woman having sex. So they're straight. So that means straight is sin. How come it's so hard for you to distinguish a relationship that you say is gay, but it's between a man and a man, but it's a prostitution act, exchange of money? And usually it's in a fertility type of setting where they're doing it because they are wanting blessings from a fertility god or goddess. Now, how come in this situation you say, well, that's gay sex? But when you're in a situation where a man has bought a woman and they had sex, why do you not say that this is straight and so therefore condemn all straight people in the world? Why can't you do that? because in this type of setting, you say, well, it's a prostitution act. So that's not a loving, caring relationship. That's not a marriage. That's not normal heterosexual relationship. It is a sexual sin of prostitution. Why can't you do that then in consideration of the man? The man sets and say that this act is a prostitution, so you cannot compare it with a similar relationship like in a marriage. Now, if you had the Bible verse that said, two men in a loving, caring relationship, like a man lying with a woman, which was a marriage, then it's an abomination. Now, is that what Leviticus says? It says man with man, like with man with woman. Well, that woman is a tricky word. Unless you study, you won't know. And you can even go Bible to Bible, I mean verse to verse, to follow, let's study the Bible on itself. And if you're into Maccabees and all these kind of stuff, you can find the relationship for this word to showing that this woman is an adulterous woman. And if you're going after other gods, you're committing adultery to God. This is a sample that God is expressing to you that what it is like when a heterosexual man, Hebrew man, that is that had gone to bed with women, it doesn't even just say that he's had a wife or anything. It just said he's gone to bed with women. That's what the word means, man. And now he's going to bed with fertility god worshiper who happens to be considered to be a sacred prostitute of a temple, a fertility temple. And this is in relationship to like as going off and being unfaithful to God because you're going after other gods. Still, as I explain this to you, and what I'm saying is true, most of you, or a lot of you, are still going to say, what difference does it make? It's still a man and a man. Like I said, all I can do is explain it to you. It makes no sense why you can have a double standard and say that a straight prostitute is no comparison to a marriage. But you say that something that, for lack of a better word, a gay prostitute, which is actually a fertility temple prostitute, so it's not necessarily a gay person. It might be a gay person, but the Bible doesn't describe any acts that actually indicate that this person is a gay person, and the person that comes to them are usually married, and they're definitely straight. There's almost no record of a gay person going to these male temple prostitutes. They're almost 100% straight men. Most of them are married, goes to these sacred male temple prostitutes. So why can't you be able to recognize the difference than a gay couple? They're happily married off. You can't because you don't want to. You don't want to believe facts. You know, this Muslim that I talked to just doesn't want to get out of the Quran. And I'm saying, you know, there's facts. There's a monk that actually went out and act like a talent scout because they were looking for somebody that can be like a messiah to the Arabian people. And they caught this young boy, Mohammed, and this one monk says, I'm going to keep an eye and I'm going to keep track. And we're going to send people to this guy, this boy, and groom him and prepare him so that he will be the messiah of the Arabian people. Because the Arabian people were kind of out of hand, and the Vatican wanted some kind of control on them, and they also wanted them to do some vicious, dirty work to true believers and the Jewish people. And so they wanted to invent a religion. And the most closest person to Mohammed was an aunt, I believe it was. We have the name of that aunt. And she was directly related to the Vatican, and she was the person that explained the scripture as Muhammad was thinking he was receiving it, although the Vatican was the one doing the writing. And he had her explain it, and she explained it according to what the Vatican had given her orders to explain it. It's a very complex, but you know, do you think that a nice standing Muslim is going to search history to find out if their Quran matches true fact history? if they did, they would learn some things that would be shocking. And also, we have the leaders, the most hierarchy of the Muslim world and the hierarchy in the Vatican. They know things and they have documentation that would literally destroy the Catholic Church and literally destroy Islam if the public got wind of it, because they know that both are not what they claim to be. And this is the same with the events that are about to happen. You see, something's going to happen that's going to change everybody. And so I always like to tell you, whether you accept it or not, I like to tell you about the New World Order coming and things like that. So when it comes, you'll be ready for it. If you notice, we got the Bible mysteries and history's mysteries and stuff like that on the History Channel or the TLC channel and all this kind of stuff. Now, a few years ago, I was telling you about that the Masons had done a 6-year study. They spent lots of money and they had huge college professors and students, well-educated. They paid them well to invent and produce something that would seem so true, so accurate, and then present it to the public that will make the Bible seem like it's an error. Well, you just watch the Bible mysteries, as it were, and you'll find they don't like to refer to A.D. and B.C. They got the Common Era and the Before Common Era. And they like to think that God did not inspire anybody to say anything. And they got this minimal Bibleist or whatever, archaeologist. Anyway, they try to make it that the Bible is just not true. And they have somebody that's always saying something that makes it seem more on the line that we might like to believe in the Bible. Then they have all these other people that try to discount the Bible right and left and then present things that makes it seem like if you really didn't know anything, that they're right. Well, they're deceiving us. We're now seeing, presenting to us on the History Channel and the TLC Channel, the Learning Channel, stuff that makes the Bible seem like it's not true. You got to believe the Bible, the King James Bible. If any of you want any other Bible, just think this thought. It's a counterfeit Bible. Every modern translation is a counterfeit Bible. Did you hear me? Study Westcott and Hort and you'll understand what I'm saying. Stick with the King James Version. NASA is going to do something soon. They're have a blue beam project, and they're going to make something look like the fake second return of Jesus and a fake rapture. This means, Christians, you're going to see Jesus returning. It's not Jesus. So if you see Jesus returning, I tell you, you're going to be convinced that it's Jesus. So reject it, because it's not Jesus. And this is going to happen. The church will go through 1,260 days in the tribulation, and then probably another 75 days. This is a fact. I don't care if you don't believe me or not. Be ready. It's going to happen. It looks like I'm getting to be out of time here. You can prepare if you don't know Jesus, because Jesus came to earth to die for your sin. And you have to believe this in your heart. You have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that God rose him on the third day. That's the primary condition of salvation. He came to die for your sins. His whole purpose to come to earth, explain himself a little bit, and then die for your sins and let you know that you have a way out of death, eternal death. And that is through him. If you believe in him, then you are saved and your sins are forgiven. Now, like this Muslim person I talked to, they say you got to live good and do right and all this kind of stuff. There is nothing you can do. You might as well live terrible. However, you better not live terrible. But I mean, it's not going to, whether you do good or whether you do bad, it's not going to get you to heaven. It is by faith and belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God that gets you to heaven. Say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, and that God rose you on the third day, forgiving my sins and coming to my life. Simple prayer. Now get ready. A great shaking of the church is about to happen. See you next week.